Fret Film Radio. I'm Matt Micucci from the 2016 Il Cinema Ritrovato in Bologna, and I'm very pleased to be joined by the managing director of Chaplin's office, Kate Guillaume-Var. Thanks very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
Let's start off with a very simple question. What exactly does the Chaplin office do?
The Chaplin office is in Paris, and it represents the rights-holding companies of Chaplin's image. There's a company called Bubbles that he set up in the 1970s to manage the merchandising of his name and image. And I'm also managing director of a company called Roy Export, which owns the copyrights to his films, to the films he made up from 1918 onwards, when he built his own studios and became his own boss and therefore gained control over everything.
Right, so we're not just talking about the films.
No, the film is sort of, managing his image and film rights, and we deal with live orchestral screenings. We also manage the archives, because obviously he left a huge archive, and that is one of the reasons why we're in Bologna now, because the Cineteca di Bologna scanned all our archives in a Chaplin project that has taken nearly 15 years, and every year I say, that's it, I haven't found any more papers, I promise you I won't bring any more, and then I find more stuff and bring it. But it's nearly finished, and it's the website is chaplinarchive.org. And for the moment it's mostly just a catalogue, but sometime this year we're going to change it all so that you can read everything rather than just seeing little thumbnails, so everybody will be able to know everything from the archives as well.
When did this project kind of start?
I can't remember, but the relationship with Bologna started in the 1990s when they did a live orchestral screening of The Kid, and the Cinema Trovato Festival was much, much smaller in those days. And they did a live orchestral screening of The Kid using our copy and our print, and Gianluca Farinelli, who wasn't the director of the Cinematheque at the time, he was the director of the festival, asked me if we would be interested in a different restoration of The Kid, because they had recently acquired a nitrate print from a collector, which was a lot better than our own material. And so our relationship started then with them proposing to restore films, first of all, and then one day he said, do you think the family would be interested if we scanned all the archives?
Wow.
No, says I. Why, honestly. So he found the finance to do it, and they've been doing it ever since.
Fantastic. Of course, there have been screenings. Well, there was one screening so far of a Chaplin masterpiece, Modern Times. That was an amazing experience, wasn't it?
It was. Modern Times in the Piazza Maggiore as night falls. I've seen many Chaplin screenings in the Piazza Maggiore over the years, but I think that's probably the one where there were most people. They say there were 7,000 people there.
Yeah, quite a sight.
Quite a sight, with the local orchestra playing, and they're doing The Kid on Wednesday. I say again, because they've obviously done The Kid many times here, but this is a new restoration of the score, because Chaplin, who many people don't know, also composed music for his films. So when City Lights came out, that was the first film that came out in the sound era, that was the first film he actually composed music for on the soundtrack of the film, and from then on he did the music whenever he made a film that he came out with his music. But later on in his life he went back to his films and composed scores for his silent films, for example The Kid. And at the time, the films for television, etc., were screened at 24 images per second, so he composed the music for that speed. But its proper projection speed is actually 21 frames per second. And so Tim Brock has restored the score. We had a restoration, but was kind of slightly monotonous, very repetitive. And Tim has, apparently, I haven't heard it yet, I'm going to the rehearsal tomorrow, livened it up, still with Chaplin music. I mean, he never ever adds his own music, Tim Brock. He's very particular about the way he restores Chaplin scores. He has, in fact, listened to hours of tapes that we have of Chaplin composing, sort of playing on the piano and humming, and you can hear him working out tunes. And Tim Brock is brilliant at saying, oh, I know what that is. That was used later on for the circus. I mean, to you or I, well, I don't know what your music capacities are, Matt, but mine are quite limited. I can't hear anything resembling the circus, but Tim can spot, notes sequences that sort of turn into a score. So he's used materials from that too to sort of pad out the kids. So we're going to hear that for the first time on Wednesday night.
That's really exciting, and obviously it must mean that's a kind of a lengthy process too.
He's worked on the kid before because he did actually a reduction for a smaller orchestra. So because live orchestral screenings are very expensive things, and we have a few films available for just ensembles, and the kid is one of them. But it wasn't, so he does know the score very well, and he's conducted it many times. But this is a lengthy process indeed. You have to listen to the soundtrack, you have to go back to the original parts and score, and then there are often changes that are not written down on the parts, and so you kind of hear them on the soundtrack. And easier for the kid, 1970s, much more difficult for City Lights, 1931, Modern Times, 1936, which are both scores that he also restored by listening to the soundtrack recording and looking at what musicians had scrawled in the margins on the parts and things like that.
And obviously one of the things that I would like to maybe mention is Chaplin's World. What can you tell us a little bit about that?
Chaplin's World is a new museum that's just opened in Switzerland. It opened mid-April in the Chaplin family's old home near Lausanne, near Vevey. And it is a sort of huge... It's more than a museum. It's a kind of experience. It's managed by Grévin, who are the French equivalent of Madame Tussauds. Therefore, there are waxworks everywhere. There are waxworks of the Little Tramp. There are sort of Charlie's mother, Edna Provence, Eric Campbell, you know, important characters in Chaplin films, and a few famous people that he knew, because that's what Grévin do best. But it's not a waxwork museum. It's a huge experience. You get to see how they lived. There are lots of home movies. You can wander through the house, see the sort of original furniture, things that were as they were when the family lived there in some rooms. And then you go into a new building, which is the what they call the studio, and there you get a sense of film sets, how Chaplin worked, how people worked in Hollywood at that time. And it is... it was very difficult for me because it's a project that's lasted for about 15 years to get to. It's not our project. We licensed the rights to various people in order to get it off the ground. It's a private project. It's a for-profit project, but I doubt they will ever make a profit. Who knows? It would be great for them if they did. So we've been terribly involved recently in the last year or so, sort of adding content, sort of advising what archives should be there, writing text, captions, that kind of thing, film footage. But I really didn't know whether it was going to be... Because when you're in a project, you don't know whether it's going to work or not, really. But, I mean, after a while, you think, actually, people are really not going to like this.
Yeah.
It is a huge success. The comments on TripAdvisor are out of this world. I can't believe how... amazing they are. It's such a relief to me personally. I mean, I'm sure everybody else knew it would be, but I was worried, as I said. And it's the garden, beautiful garden, lovely view of Lake Geneva, mountains in the distance. It's a really beautiful place, and it's a place where you can actually go and spend 3 or 4 hours, no kidding, if you want to really learn about Chaplin.
I have no doubt. Yeah, I would kind of like to wrap up this interview with maybe a question that's a little broader. It seems to me that Chaplin's popularity hasn't really died down with the years. I see Chaplin statues and reproductions of his images everywhere I go, everywhere around the world. Mm-hmm. Really is a timeless icon. What kind of still makes him relevant to this day, in your opinion?
I often ask myself that. Why is it that Chaplin's films are still watchable, even to kids nowadays, whereas other stars of the 20s are definitely not, even though they were huge stars at the time. I think it's just a question of David Robinson, film historian, Chaplin biographer, among many other things, explained it once in a way that I can't, which was that, in fact, not only did he bring all his talent from music hall, and therefore the way he moved his body and his ability to dance, move, acrobatic, etc., and his amazing way of constructing stories and making people laugh and everything, but what he also brought all his emotional baggage. of his childhood, of London, of the difficulties he went through when he was a kid, and they never left him, and they were always present, and that is what I think makes his work possibly more human than other film works of the period, and therefore they still are. They still somehow work today in an amazing way. And I mean, Modern Times the other night was a great example of that. But even the film montage they've done at Chaplin's World are absolutely wonderful too. I mean, what people buy the most when they leave in the shop are Chaplin's autobiography and his DVDs, more than notebooks and pencils and things like that. And that means that they have been inspired to find out more and learn more, and that is really what it was all about.
Yeah, and to me, I think he also, for a lot of people, represents silent cinema in general, people that aren't familiar with silent cinema, him and maybe a few others. Is there any event that's coming up, any initiative, activity that you would like to talk about?
Well, Chaplin's World is our most recent. There's a new book came out last year, a huge book, thanks to the Cineteca di Bologna's scanning of the archives. Taschen was able to bring out a huge book called The Chaplin Archives, which is very complete. And David Robinson wrote a book, one of, I think, the best books on Chaplin ever, called Limelight, Footlights and the Story of Limelight. So it's Limelight was a film Chaplin made in 1952, which is largely autobiographical, based in the sort of early 1900s in London, music hall London. And he wrote a little novel about it. And so the book has the novel, and then David's put it all in context about Chaplin's life and leaving the States in the 50s and why he made Limelight and things. And I think that if you don't know anything about Chaplin, that would be a great place to start, just because it's such a beautiful book and so beautifully written. And David is also going to be writing soon a book about The Freak, which is a film project that Chaplin was working on in the 60s, but that he never made.
Wow. That sounds very interesting. Thank you very much for joining us and taking the time to talk with us. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you, Matt. It was great.
Thanks a lot. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.